We are talking about, or in a series called Glory, Power, and Authority Released. It has been released. Glory, power, and authority. The glory of God, the power of God, and the authority of God has already been released in the earth. Now, by now you would have realized that the glory of God is multifaceted. It cannot be defined in one sentence or in one sermon. We have to look at various aspects of the Bible to see when the glory of God was manifested and what it meant. So there is a growing understanding and a revelation of what the glory of God is. We started off our series by talking about the cloud. Remember, we spoke about the cloud in the Old Testament and how the cloud would appear in the meeting place. Also how the cloud led the Israelites out of captivity in the desert. It was their covering. And that was the physical presence of the Holy Spirit. Also how the cloud appeared in the temple when musicians were playing and the temple was dedicated and the priests couldn't stand to minister under that cloud presence and that anointing. We then went on the next service to reveal that Jesus was raised by the glory of God. And we also came to understand that the glory of God was the Holy Spirit. So when we receive the Holy Spirit, as they did on the day of Pentecost, we also receive the glory of God. The glory of God comes to dwell in us, whether you're aware of that or not, or whether you have been able to release that glory or have it manifested or not, you need to understand that you have it. And that is the beginning, the knowledge of the fact that we have it. Then we understood that Jesus was the express image of the glory of God. Remember that? That the Father revealed His glory in Jesus, in Christ, to the earth. And He is the exact fingerprint, the exact image of the Father. So we're seeing multiple understandings and revelations and unfoldings of what the glory is. Then we also understood that we ourselves are being changed or transfigured from glory to glory, ever increasing. As we look into the Word, we are being changed from glory to glory. All right? So we are on a glory train. Amen? Turn and tell somebody, I'm on a glory train. All right. Thank you, Lord. Now, today we're going to study yet another aspect of the glory of God, and you're going to see some very interesting things in this. I'm going to try and simplify it for you as we go through this particular aspect of it. Beginning to read in 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, I'm going to read out of the Complete Jewish Bible. Interesting, huh? So here we go. Complete Jewish Bible. Goes like this. God's power has been given us. God's power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowing the One. Through our knowing the One who called us to His own glory and goodness. By these, He has given us valuable and super. This is a big word. Super awesome. Superlatively. Superlatively. Can you understand? I don't think there's a word above that. That's where you get tongue-tied. You reach there and you say, like, that's it. Superlatively great promises. He has given us these promises. So that through them what? Them promises. These great, precious, valuable, superlatively promises. Through them, you might come to share in God's nature and escape the corruption which evil desires have brought into the world. You know, we could shut it down and go home. That one verse. We don't need anything else. We could shut it down and go home. If you could just meditate on that verse and begin to understand what God has given us, that He, in fact, has called us to His own glory and goodness. See, Christians have been called to God's glory and goodness. That's the top of the mountain, as Ben was telling us. That is the top of the mountain. That's not halfway up. That's all the way to the top. Well, what does this mean? What does it mean to be called like this? Well, we are called to, number one, have God's nature. We're called to have God's nature. It says so right here, that through these we might share in God's nature. Number two, we're called to demonstrate the attributes of His character. You ought to have the same character as God. Whew. And number three, you're called to do God's deeds. Literally called to act like God. You're called to act like Him. You're supposed to look like Him, have His nature, have His character, and do His deeds. See, God's glory, according to what I'm reading here, is the nature of God in self-manifestation, which is His love. God is love. God is love. And when the love of God is being manifested, then it is God's glory that's being manifested. It's His very nature. You don't get, God has faith. He does not have love. He is love. You can't get higher than that. To describe God, you have to say love. God is love. God's glory is also what He essentially is. It's His character. What He essentially is. He makes righteous decisions because of His character. And finally, God's glory is His acts. It's what He does. It is the demonstration of His power. So you can see, this is getting really complicated, because you can't just put this down in a short sentence and say, yeah, I've got an understanding of God's glory. No, we are always going to be going from glory to glory. We're always going to be increasing in the knowledge of God. We're never going to be able to sit back and say, I've arrived. Shut the book. I'm good. No. We're going to be increasing constantly, and we're trying to dig in here to the glory of God. So let's have a look. In Exodus 33 and verse 18, Moses says to God, now show me your glory. And you know, we sing songs about asking God to reveal His glory and show His glory to us. We sing songs like that. So it's a normal thing for a true believer to want to experience God's glory. And God, and He says, please show me your glory. And so the Lord answers him and says, I will cause my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. And I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But Moses says, God, I ask to see your glory. I don't want to know about your goodness. I don't want to know about your mercy. I don't want to know about your compassion. Show me your glory. And God says to him, it's the same thing. I will let my goodness pass in front of you. You're actually seeing my glory. When you see God's goodness, you see His glory. You can't separate the two. Sometimes we get this idea that the glory of God is going to be like a shiny ball that's going to come. Did you see it? Did you catch it? Did you see that? Now watch the video. Let's see if we got it on the video. This is not a Disney movie where it comes in like fairy story, sprinkled stardust. God says, it's my goodness. My glory is wrapped up in my goodness. And if I show compassion, you're seeing my glory. If I show mercy, you're seeing my glory. Whew. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, now, God having said this in the Old Testament, Jesus in the New Testament shows us a greater aspect of this very thought. When He prays in John 17 and verse 4, And he says, I have brought you glory on the earth. Jesus said, I have brought you glory while I was on the earth, completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Now let's have a look at this verse. Let's see what we get out of this. How did Jesus bring glory to God the Father on the earth? How did he do it? Very clearly explains right here, by completing the work God gave him to do. By completing the work God gave him to do. You see, Jesus told us this. This is not in your notes. Jesus told us this in John 14 and verse 15. If you love me, come on now, you will do what I ask you. You will obey and keep my commandments if you love me. See, here's the test. This is the acid test. This is it right here. Many people claim to love God, but few obey him. Everybody say, ouch. You see, we can never bring glory to God while we live in disobedience to his commands or his acts that he's telling us to do. We can ask for the fireball to hit us. We can be filled with his glory, but we can never bring glory to him. We might have the glory. We might have the glory, but never bring glory to him. Boy, that's deeper than you want to go. Jesus honored and respected, exalted, and glorified his Father through obedience to his instructions. It was necessary for Jesus himself to be obedient. Are you out there? You're going home. Listen, church. Listen, church. We want to go to where the glory of God is manifested. We're not going to get there by living in shallow, dirty water. Okay? We're not going to get there that way. Some things are going to have to change. We're going to have to come to a place where we respect God enough to obey him, where we honor him with what we do. We exalt him by keeping his word. I knew this wouldn't be a shout in the camp. Hold on, okay? Hold on. Hold on. I know it's getting down there, right? I'm stirring, right? Getting deep. Okay, well, we gotta go to, if you want to build a tall building, you gotta go deep. You gotta go deep with the foundations to go high. Right now we're digging the foundation. And there's some old sewage pipe down here. Oh, wait, there's a dead body as well. And that's the old man. It's exactly what I was saying. I'm glad you got it. Yeah. So now I want you to see something that is absolutely shocking. All right, are you ready? Let's go back to the verse. Verse 5. Now, Father, Jesus says, glorify me in your presence. Jesus now has the liberty to ask the Father to glorify him. What? Say what? How? But he's Jesus, right? That's why he can ask that. What about us? Can we ask what Jesus asked? Can we have what Jesus has? Are we in him? Are we seated together with him? If he is glorified, are we not glorified? Yes, we are. Yes, we are. But now, what gives Jesus the right to ask? Jesus asks the Father to honor him because he had done what the Father had asked him to do. Once he had done what the Father asked him to do, he now has this bold liberty to say, okay, God, I've done what you asked me. Now glorify me. Are we not going from glory to glory? Are we not being glorified? How is this going to happen? In the degree to which you submit to obedience to God the Father and do His will, to that degree and only that degree will you go from glory to glory. See, what does this say to us? Honor is earned by obedience. Sorry, I didn't mean to blow into your ears. But it shocked me. It shocked me that Jesus showed true humility. He did. And true humility brought respect and recognition from the Father in the terms of being glorified. He was given a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. If you read that verse, it said, because he humbled himself unto death in obedience, he was given a name that's above every name. The glory that came was because of his obedience to the will of the Father, even if it meant death. He did not consider himself at all. So Jesus revealed the glory of God while he was on earth by demonstrating the power of God. It's one of the ways he did it. I'll just give you one example. When he raised Lazarus from the dead. Okay, let's have a look at this verse. We lay this from the day. It's found in John 11:4. When Jesus heard this, because they came to him and they said to him, well, you know, what if you'd been here earlier? Lazarus wouldn't have died, blah, 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 blah. And so he says to them, Mary and Martha and the crew, he says this, the sickness will not end in death. And Mary and Martha look at each other, and they go, you know, we love you, Jesus. But much learning has brought you to a place where you can't reckon. The boy is dead. He's in the grave already. Don't be talking to me about this is not going to end in death. He's already dead. Is there anybody else we can pray to right now? You understand? They have no clue. They don't get it. And Jesus says, this sickness is not going to end in death. No, 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 no. He says, in fact, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. All right, now, if we did not have the Holy Spirit as our teacher, if we did not have the Holy Spirit as our teacher, what would happen is that demons might convince you, if you read this verse, that sickness could be for God's glory. And some of you have actually heard people say that. You've heard people say that. Yeah, you know this, well, this sickness, you know, is for God's glory. I understand. God wants me to suffer this, and through my suffering, I'm bringing glory to Him. In fact, God gave me this. A blind piano tuner came to our home in South Africa to tune the piano. And I said to him, sir, would you like to receive your sight? God does not want you to remain blind. And he said respectfully, God made me blind so I could be a great piano tuner. I could not convince the man that he could be a great piano tuner if he could see. He thought having his sight would prevent him from doing this job. And since God gave him this talent, God also gave him the blindness. You see, there are many people who demons have convinced that their sickness is from God. And therefore, they can't pray for healing and cannot believe for healing. Lazarus' sickness did not glorify God. His healing did. You hear me? It's not the sickness that you have. It's being healed from it that glorifies God. See, Jesus demonstrated God's nature and acts of compassion by healing and raising Lazarus from the dead. He demonstrated it. His acts of compassion and his grace and his power were revealed. Through this act of compassion of raising Lazarus, he revealed the power of God and the glory of God and the grace of God and the mercy of God. All through the one act of healing this person. Now, if we just go down the story to verse 40, the same story. Keep reading. Jesus said to Martha and Mary and the rest of the group, Did I not tell you? How is it you didn't hear me? But I told you. And you looked me in the face and you didn't hear what I said. Because you were preconceived. You had preconceived ideas. Your head was spinning with other things and you couldn't hear what I was trying to say. The living word standing in front of them, speaking life by the Spirit, and they couldn't get it. Are you amazed that people come to church and don't get the teaching? Because I'm none of that. Jesus said, did you not hear what I told you? If you believed. Everybody say, if you believed. Say it one more time. Now say it like you mean it. This is what Jesus said. If you believed, you would see the glory of God. What does that mean to us? It means that the glory of God will be manifested in our lives if we believe. Hello. The glory's been given. The glory's available. The power's been given. It's available. The authority's been given. But it can't be revealed or manifested unless you believe. Don't go home yet. See, we want to see the glory manifested, do we not? So I'm giving you the key, because Jesus gave us the key. It's right here. The key is believe for it. Believe the glory will be manifested in your life. Believe when you pray for the sick, they'll be healed. Believe that when you talk to somebody, the word of God will come flying through your mouth and go, boom, and you'll be surprised at what you say. Believe it. Now, our faith releases the glory and the goodness of God through us. You're filled with it, you have it, but it doesn't come through you unless you believe. You have to release it by your faith. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 12, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes. Would that include you? Turn and tell your neighbor, anyone means you. Now put your finger on your chest and say, anyone means me. Anyone who believes in Jesus will do the same works I have done. And even greater works because. Everybody say because. So he's going to tell us why. Why are we going to do the great works? He's going to tell us. He doesn't leave it for your imagination. He says, because I'm going to be with the Father. Well, what is going to be with the Father got to do with me doing your works? This is what Jesus said. Unless I go to the Father, the promise cannot come. The promised Holy Spirit cannot come unless I go to the Father. But if I go to the Father, I will send him. Who's the promise? And what is the Holy Spirit? Come on now, don't back off now. I got you in a corner. I practiced this move. The promise is the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, I'm going to go to heaven and I'm going to be with my Father. When I go, I'm going to send the glory, and the glory is going to dwell inside you. And therefore, you will be able to do all the works that I do, and greater works than these will you be able to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, verse 14 says, he affirms it again. Yes, ask me anything in my name and I will do it. Let me just back up a little bit. I skipped over something so good in this verse. In verse 13, I jumped all the way down. Let me back up to the verse we were reading. So anyone who believes in me, all right, because I'm going to the Father. So Jesus expected us who believe to do the works that he did, hold on now, so that we would also glorify the Father. Not only was he to glorify the Father, but he expected us to glorify the Father by doing the works he did, the same works. So we would glorify the Father the same way by doing his works. And therefore, we'd be able to say, Father, now glorify me, for I've done the works you've asked me to do. And I've done the works that Jesus gave me to do. We would reveal the Father's very nature. Who is he? Who is he? One word. Work with me. One word. Have I wasted 35 minutes on you? Who is the Father? One word. Turn and tell somebody, please, lest I faint from exhaustion. Go back and check the healing, the teaching anointing. Something is lacking. By healing the sick, we show his compassion for the sick. We show God's compassion for the sick by healing the sick. Thus, we demonstrate the acts or the works of God and his love in action. We demonstrate his works in action. Now, verse 13. You can ask for anything in my name. It follows verse 12. How smart is that? For those who've been struggling with this teaching, here's something easy. Verse 13 follows verse 12. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. Ask for how much? Anything. How much? Anything. Are you sure Jesus said anything? Anything? Uh-huh. Okay, you will ask for anything, and I will do it. Why, Jesus? Why would you do that? Why would you do that? Can you finish? Can you finish? Come on. Why? Why would you do this, Father? Why would you do this? Oh, wait. Let's read the Bible. It might help us. Ask for anything in my name and I will do it. Oh, wait. There's the answer. So that the Son can bring glory to the Father. If you ask anything in his name, he will do it so that Jesus can bring glory to the Father. He's waiting for you to help him glorify the Father. By you not asking and not doing, you're holding back the glory that Jesus could give to the Father. You're limiting what Jesus can do in glorifying the Father. You're affecting Jesus. And you're affecting the glory the Father can get. Can you still sit back and say, if it be thy will, maybe, if you want to, perhaps, let it be, huh? We'll see, we'll try. You better get on the glory train. You just better get on the glory train. Because this train's leaving the station. It's leaving the station. I'm going to show you something. You see, I think by now you understand that we've been called to demonstrate God's glory in the earth. You believe that? Yeah, we are called to demonstrate it. In fact, here's the unfortunate part. Probably 99% of Christians are missing the mark, are not accomplishing this. Am I telling the truth here? Yeah? So we're still digging deep, right? We've got more corpses down here. We're digging deep. Now we've got to look ourselves in the mirror and we've got to say, am I one of the 99% that are not doing this? Am I missing the mark? Am I not bringing the glory to the God, to God the Father that I could and should? And probably, you know what? I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to go out and I'm going to say, all of us. So the four that agreed, amen to you. I knew the bunch, everybody wouldn't get a hold of this, but the four who got it. I feel so amazed. I'm so encouraged. I'm going to give you a very familiar scripture, and I'm going to shock you with interpretation of it. Are you ready? Yeah. Tell somebody, I'm ready. Romans 3:23, I guarantee you all know it. You all know this verse. For some have sinned. All right, say it in South African. Say all. There you go. See, do you feel that anointing? Do you feel that anointing? You can't. There's the anointing that comes with saying things the right way. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Have we not been talking about the glory all day? And about how we're supposed to be obedient, how we're supposed to ask and do and show the mercy of God and compassion and do the things in Jesus' name. And I'm convinced that we fall short of the glory. Now, you see, this scripture is used for people who are not saved. And we tell them, and I remember, this is on the Roman road. We use this on the Roman road. If you don't know what that means, wait till you get to Bible college. You'll find out. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Basically, we say, you're all sinners. You're not going to make it. None of you going to make it. How does that make you feel? All right. So now, hold on tight. The Greek word for the word sin, is the word hamateno. You don't have to remember that. It's not an exam question. But it means to miss the mark. So in this particular verse, the sin is missing the mark, not hitting the target, falling short. Somehow you miss the mark. So everybody has missed the mark. Everybody is missing the target somewhere. This is what it says. We've all missed the mark. Now, the next part of this verse says to fall short. We've all fallen short. But the tense in the Greek is the present tense. So that creates a problem because it says right now. This is what it's saying. Right now, you've come short. Right now, you're coming short. And thus, fail. This is the Greek word. I'm explaining the Greek word for you. It says right now, tense, right now, you've come short. And therefore, you fail. The verb here, to fail, is this word, hysteria. And what it means is to fail to reach the goal or to fall short of the end. To fail or to fall short of the end or to lack. Now, here's my thoughts. And I make this as a proposal to you because I know it's radically different from our previous understanding of this verse. And I'm not saying this verse can't apply to those that have sinned. I'm not discounting that, please. It obviously can apply. But I believe that there's something deeper if we dig below. There's something deeper. We'll peel back the onion and I think we'll see something more. I believe what's going on here, and this is, again, just mine. Since we are born again and declared righteous, right now, I'm righteous. That means I can't be missing the mark. Because I'm righteous by faith in Christ and because of His grace, my sin has been dealt with. So right now, this present tense, right now, I can't be missing the mark. Because this is a present tense statement. Unless it's not referring to our sinful state, but us not attaining to the plan, purpose, and goal God had in mind of us demonstrating His glory. Because what are we coming short of? What did it say we're coming short of? Come on, people, talk to me. Okay, this is a church where you talk back. You've got to get used to that. We are falling short of His glory. We're missing the mark concerning His glory. So many Christians are not demonstrating God's glory or His authority or His power. They're just not. So they're missing the mark. You see that? They're missing the mark. Right now, they're falling short. They're failing to reveal God's true nature and character. And they are allowing demons and Satan and Hollywood to reveal the wrong nature and character of God, because the believers are falling short of revealing the true glory and nature of God. We are missing the mark. We have got to step up to the plate. We have got to take our place and the responsibility Jesus expected us to operate in. When He said, I will send you the Spirit and the glory, and He will dwell in you. And when He comes to dwell in you, you will ask Me whatever you will, and I will do it, that the Father may be glorified, because I expect you to do the works that I've done, and greater works than these, because you're going to operate in My glory. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. It's God's glory. His power is in us. His love, His authority has been released in the earth. Come and drink. Come and drink of the fountain of life. Drink your fill and understand who you are in Christ and what He's done for you and what He expects from you. And let that gush out of you unto others, so that you may become an encounter with God's glory and reveal God's glory and His power and His mercy and His compassion and His love. You become God on the earth. You become Jesus in the flesh, because as He is, so are we in this earth. We are supposed to represent Him as Jesus did. We have been left behind in this earth, in this condition that we're in, that we might reveal the glory of the Father that we obtained through Jesus. Every eye closed. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the great privilege, the great honor. Our mind just boggles at what You've done for us through Jesus. The place to which You've elevated us in Christ, to Your right hand of authority, given us a name that's above every name, released us in the earth to operate in Your glory, authority, and power. Forgive us, dear Father, one and all, forgive us. For we truly have fallen short of revealing Your glory in the earth. But we pray that our minds and hearts would be opened. The revelation of who we are in Christ and what's been done for us would become clear, just as the book of Ephesians says, that we might know what is the hope of our calling and the riches of the inheritance in Christ. Help us, Father, to enlarge our capacity to receive the fullness of Your word, and in humility do the deeds Jesus is calling us to do. Depending upon You, Spirit of God, and the power of the name of Jesus, and not upon our own righteousness or good works, we humbly submit our life to You. We yield to You in obedience in all things. For our desire is to glorify You, Father. Our desire is to glorify You, Jesus. And today we thank You for giving us that opportunity, for showing us in your word what you want us to do and how you want us to do it. We're eternally grateful. And now by faith, we believe. As you've taught us, Jesus, if we believe, we will see the glory of God. So by faith in Jesus' name, we believe that from this moment forward, we will demonstrate and release the glory and the power of God in our life. And through the acts that we do in Jesus' name, the sick will know that they're loved. The lost will experience your compassion. And Jesus, you can come on back and get us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.